Parshas Shmini. One of the central themes in Parshas Shmini is the portion that discusses the kosher dietary laws, the Hilchos Ma'acholos Asuros, Babehema, Bechaya, Ba'oif, and also with the sea monsters, sea creatures, fish, etc., are described in great detail here in Parshas Shmini, and then of course repeated later on in Parshas Re'eh. There is an interesting Maimon Chazal, which is quoted by a number of different Meforshim, Kadmonim, even though we don't know exactly where this is originally found, and that is that one of the behemoths, which are counted as a behemoth tumeah, will become pure and edible la'othid lovay. In Parshas Shmini, in capital Yud Aleph, Posuk Zayin, it says, V'esa chazir, the swine, kimapris parsahu, v'shoysa shesa parsah, it is completely split hooves, v'hu geira lo yigar, but it doesn't chew the cud, tomehu lochem, it's tome, you mustn't eat it. So the pig is included as an animal which is tome and we must not eat. The Medrash says, osid chazir litoher, lomo nikra shemoi chazir, why is the swine called chazir? Fish osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'hachaziro ilonu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to restore the pig to us. So, in the Messianic era, in Yemos HaMashiach, we will eventually be able to have bacon and eggs for breakfast. So, it gives a lot of people something to look forward to. Now, obviously the question is, though, how is it possible that a behemoth mare should become kosher? One of the 13 principles of Emuna, Yisoidei Hadats, is that which it says, that HaTorah HaZois Leitehi Mukhlefes, as the Rambam codifies in Hilchos Yisoidei HaTorah at the beginning of the 9th chapter, that this is one of the principles of the Torah, Ad Olam, that all the mitzvahs of the Torah apply forever and for all eternity. HaTorah HaZois Leitehi Mukhlefes, that there cannot be any change. It is based on this that we this is our answer to other faith denominations or other movements that have come out of the Jewish people, that the Yiddishkeit believes in the eternity of the mitzvahs. If we believe in the eternity of the mitzvahs, how can it be that the chazer will be kosher? So the answer is provided by a number of commentaries, but most particularly I would like to mention the Oir HaChaim HaKadosh, who points out that the answer to this question is actually alluded to in Scripture itself. Because although the Torah speaks about four beasts that are Tomei, when it describes the question of chewing the cud, it uses an interesting expression with regard to the pig. It says, "Vesachazir kimafis parso v'shoisa shesa parso v'hu geira lo yigor." Ordinarily, you could have said that he doesn't chew the cud. V'hu geira lo yigor is the other says kimale geira, so it could say kiene male geira. What's v'hu geira lo yigor? So the Rechaim HaKodesh says that this is a loshen of a t'nai. It's a stipulation. Vesachazir, you mustn't eat. V'hu provided geira lo yigor, that it doesn't chew the cud, then tomehu lochem. However, if there will be a pig that does chew the cud, then there's no prohibition. V'sachazir kimalas kimafis pasu sheshesh pasu v'hu geira lo yigor, provided it doesn't chew the cud, then tomehu lochem. But when it chews the cud, it will become toher. And therefore he says that the meaning of this Maimon Chazal is that the pig will be genetically modified to the extent that it will chew the cud. So we will have a cud-chewing swine, which will therefore be able to go back on the menu of the Jewish table. In other words, the Arachayim HaKodesh understands that the simoni taro that are given for behemoths are sibos. The reason why it's tome is because it doesn't chew the cud. It chews the cud, then, even though it's still a pig, looks like a pig, it tastes like a pig, Nevertheless, it is Toher. With this, we can also, and that's why it doesn't violate the principle of the eternity of the Torah, because the mitzvah of the Torah applies. It's not the Torah that will change, it is the pig that will change. This can also answer another question. There's a Sefer Oir Yekoros who brings a fascinating question. Now, we know ordinarily in Hilchas Kashrus, the din is that if something which is not kosher gets m'urov, mixed into something which is kosher, so then there's dinam of bittul, bittul chad b'trei, bittul echad b'shishim, the laws of neutralization, of nullification of the issa. But there is a principle, anyone who's learned Maseches Beya or other Masechtas knows, that dovar shebeminyan dovar sheyesh lo matirin einoi bottle. That something that is going to become mutar at a later stage, mot lemochor or lachas man, is not bottle. As Rashi says in Be'ed Avgimel Amad Beis, ad shetichlenu be'issa tichlenu be'heta. So for example, an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, even if it got mixed up with 1,000 other eggs, we say it's not bottle. Why? Because if you wait till tomorrow, it'll be edible anyway. So why eat it through bittul when you can eat it without bittul? So someone says, since we anticipate the arrival of Mashiach every single day, mehiro yibona amigdosh, achakaloi b'chol yoyim shiyovoi, kilishosho kivinu kol ayoyim, etc., etc. So any minute Mashiach could come, the pig will become genetically modified, and then it'll be kosher. Sorry, the pig will become kosher, and then it'll be kosher. So if pig gets mixed up in, if you have a bit of pork gravy that gets falls into your cholent, so why would you say it's bottle if it got mixed in echad v'shishim? It should be treif, because it's a dovah sheyesh lematirin when Mashiach comes. The Teretz is, no, the pig that we know today will never become mutter, because our pigs don't chew the cud. It's only the pigs that will be reinvented after Mashiach that they will blow the house down. They will be the ones to become tohir. Now, going a little bit backwards in the Seder HaParsha, the beginning of the Sedra starts of Ahiba Yom Hashmini, Korah Moshe L'Aaron L'Vono V'Zikni Yisrael. It's the eighth day of the inaugurational ceremony of the Hakamas HaMishkan. The Mishkan was erected and dissembled for 7 days, and on the eighth day, Moshe Rabbeinu, they were making the Mishkan, and that was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That was a very special day in the Jewish calendar. And on that day, they brought various korbanos, and on that day it says here in Maaseh Sechatos Vayil Vashlomim, Vayiso Aaron es yodov el om bayivorchim. Aaron raised his hands to the people, and he blessed them. What did Aaron do? How did he bless them? So Rashi says he said the words Yivarechecho, Yoeir, and Yiso. The implication of Rashi is the Poshto Pshat in Rashi is that he gave them what's called Berachas Kohanim. In fact, the Gemara in Sayyid of Lamad Ches learns out from here the dinim that in the Parsha of Birchas Kohanim, the Parsha of Birchas Kohanim is found in Parshas Nosai, in Kapitel Chavov, where it says, Vidabe Shalom Meshalema, Dabe Elan, Vilbon of Lemek, Vesavorchus, Pnei Yisrael, Manahem, Rech Hashem, Yishmerecho, Yoy Hashem, Pon Velech, Vachneko, Yisra Hashem, Pon Velech, Vyosim, Choshol, Misom, Yishmiel, Bnei Yisrael, Vnei Avorchim. But it doesn't mention there the requirement of raising one's hands. However, here in Parshas Shemini, we have the Pasuk by Yisra. The Ramban disagrees, because the Ramban says the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim was not given yet. This was a different type of bracha. But Rashi and certainly other commentaries also seem to understand that this was the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. It was already, so it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the first time when we have the mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim, as it's also known. So there's a kasha. If it was the mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim, why does it single out Aaron? Aaron had four children at that stage. Nodav, Avihu, Eroz, and Isoma. So why did it say just Aaron? So there was a Rav called Rav Betzalel HaKoyen of Vilna. He had a brother called Rav Shloime HaKoyen of Vilna. They both wrote Hagohis, which are published at the end of the Vilna Shas. Rav Shloime is Cheshek Shloime, Rav Betzalel HaKoyen is Mari Kohen. They were both big Goyinim at that time. Rav Betzalel wrote Shas Tshuvas Reishis Bikurim. Rav Shloime HaKoyen wrote Shas Tshuvas Binyan Shloime. So in a little note in Shas Tshuvas Reishis Bikurim Siman Daled, he says, he was obviously a Kohen, he says, and I happen to be in Parshas Mitzovim Vayelech Tov Reish Chof Tes, in Trieste, in Italy. And there they had the minhag in the Sfardish shul and the Italian shul that they would duchen on Shabbos Musaf. Not every day, and not even Shachris on Shabbos, but Musaf on Shabbos they duchen. And they came up to me and they were mechabed me with the mitzvah Birchas Kohanim. So, what was the minhag? All the Kohanim have to duchen. He said, no, all the Kohanim went up to the Aron HaKodesh and they turned around and they stood facing the Olam silently. And they did not recite the blessing. Only I recited the blessing. They all stood facing the people. I recited the blessing. And I was Mavorich. And they were Yotzei through the principle of Shemeya Koina. Like you can be Yotzei the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah through hearing the Shliach Tzibur read the Megillah. You can be Yotzei the mitzvah of Kiddush through hearing the Balabais reciting the Kiddush. Hallel, etc. So, Birchas Kohanim as well. Maishno, Shemeya Kohina. Ooh, he was tickled pink by this honor. And he said that he now understood various things. For example, there's a very difficult Mishnah in Megillah, Perek Gimel, where it says that Hamachtir Benovi, who Peres Hoshma, who Yerid Pneateva, who Noiseas Kapov. And once upon a time, today the reverse is true. Maftir was a very non-prestigious aliyah. Because strictly speaking, a cotton can get maftir, a minor. So if a person got maftir, in order to make him feel better, he was perhaps a little bit crestfallen, so they would give him other kibudim to make up for the loss. So they gave him to daven musaf, lifnei hateva, etc., etc. But it says one of the kibbutim they gave him is Noisias Kapov, Yuduchen. But what do you mean he would duchen? Surely everyone as a Kohen has got to duchen. Well, the commentaries on the Mishnah are very troubled by this. If the person is not a Kohen, he can't duchen anyway. But even if he is a Kohen, so he can duchen, but the other Kohen also have to duchen. Zoktra Betzal la Kohen, now I understood what it means. It means that he is the one that is given the right to be the loudspeaker for the other Kohenim. That he is the one that is Oina, the others are Shemim, and he is Shemir Koina. And he says, this is the Pshat in the Pasuk in Parsha Shmini, where it says, Vayisa Ar Oina Siyodav Alam Vayivorchim, Ulubonov Heichon Holchu, where did they go to? The answer is, they were Yotze with his Amira. But it should be mentioned that the whole contention that you can actually be Yotze Mikro Birchas Koinim through Shemir Koina is far from straightforward. I won't go into it at great length now, because we're short of time, but there's if you want to look in the Beis Halevi from Yosef Rabbi Yosheber Soloveitchik, the father of Rabbi Chaim Briska, at the end of Sefer Bereishis, he's got a little piece of it where he says that Chochom Echad suggested that you can be Yosef in the midst of Birchas Kohanim through Shemei Koina, and I disagree, and I assume that the Chochom Echad was actually this Rabbi Tzal HaKohen of Vilna. One of the main problems is that the question is how Shemeya Koina works. You see, how do we know? You see, B'negeya to Birchas Koinim, the Gemara says in Soita Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, there are six conditions. Five applicable everywhere, six in the Beis HaMikdash. One of the conditions of Birchas Kohanim is that it has to be Bekoil Rom. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, you'll see that a Kohen who Koilet Sorod, who's hoarse, then he can't duchen. Why? Because it has to be Bekoil Rom, in a loud voice. But actually in the Sifri, and in some manuscripts of the Gemara, it doesn't say Bekoil Rom. It says this is learnt out from the words Omer Lohem. Omelahem means Sheyiya Kol HaKohol Shemeya. The whole congregation has got to hear. So therefore, some people have argued like this, that Avada if there's a mitzvah that of Amira, Mikra Megillah, Kiddush, Halal, you can be yoytzeh through Shemei Koina, because there the mitzvah is just Amira. But here by Bichas Koyanim, where the din is Koyrom, what does Koyrom mean? Koyrom is not just about the volume. Koyrom is Sheyir Kol HaKohol Shemeya, that the entire congregation has got to hear it, has to be audible, even to the back benches. So then it doesn't help Shemei Koina. Because even if the Koinim standing next to the Betzal are considered halachically as if they are uttering the words, they are articulating the words, Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, etc., but the person at the back can't hear them. And here it's not good enough, Amira. So Amira can carry over from the Oina to the Shemeya. But where the Amira has got to achieve something, Sheyir Kol HaKol Shemeya, it's not going to work. That's what some Achredim say. It's not 100% an opshlog, because it depends what's the pshat Shemei HaKoina. If you say Shemei HaKoina means, I say something and it's considered as if the person next to me is also saying it, but really it's his Amira, so then of course his voice has got to be heard. But there's another way of understanding Shemei HaKoina, that the Oina becomes like the shaliach of the shomim. The yotze through him. His mouth becomes their mouth. There's a lashon in Shulchan Aruch Rav in Siman Reish Gimel, Sivov, Erechaim, Shepiv Kepihem. There's a mocker for this in Rishonim as well. That his mouth is like their mouth. I mean, ordinarily, there's no concept of shlichas, benegeh to mitzvahs shebedibot. But Shemei Kohen is mechadish, that the amira of... So therefore, it doesn't matter if the kohol at the back can't hear the voice of the silent Kohenim, because he is hearing their voice. Because the Amira of the Kohen who is speaking, his Amira is just as much their Amira as it's his Amira. And therefore, since his Amira can be heard, and he becomes, as it were, their mouthpiece, so provided the Kol HaKol can hear him speak, it's considered as if he can hear them speak. And that's a pilpul in the din of Shemei Koina, the chiddush of Rabbi Salah Kohen would very much depend on that. Since we addressed the concept of Birchas Kohenim and the Sias Kapayim, which first occurs in this week's Sedra, and it is actually coming close to Rosh Chodesh Nissan as well, usually by Yom HaShmini is after Rosh Chodesh Nissan, even after Pesach. But this year we have Rosh Chodesh Nissan still ahead of us. I'd like to add a deeper understanding of the concept of Birchas Kohenim. Because we have a strange thing, that we have davening. We have davening on Rosh Hashanah, we have davening on Yom Kippur, we have davening all year round. What is it that Birchas Kohenim comes to add to the concept of davening? What does Birchas Kohenim achieve? It's considered so important. In the Bavli asked the question in Ikvis of the Mashiach, when there's so much negativity, and what will the world stand? So the Gemara says, "Akedusha the Sidra va'Aomen Yehishmirah b'Da'agadita." On the Kedusha that you say in Avolat Siyam Goel, and the Aomen Yehishmirah that you say to Akadish the Rabbonon. But in the Yerushalmi it says, "On Birchas Kohenim." The world stands on Birchas Kohenim. So there is a discussion of this in Likutei Torah, Parshas Korach, where he explains as follows. He said that the word Aaron, who was the archetypal Kohen, Aaron HaKohen, it can be read, the letters of Aaron are also the letters Nira, to become visible. And what he explains is like this. That on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, or between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that's when there is a taktziv. There is like a budget given to every person. As the Gemara says in Be'er, Daf Tes, Zayin, and Aleph, Mishpot L'Lekei Yaakov, Kichot L'Yisrael, Mishpot L'Lekei Yaakov, the Kol Mezenei Sev Shalodom, K'tziv M'Lei Rosh Hashanah V'Ad Yom Kippurim. So between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, it's designated how much everyone will get. No, so if it's already designated between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, so what do we daven every day for? What do we daven every day for? So he explains like this. This taksir, this budget, is two things still have to happen. We all know that budgets are sometimes allocated, but they don't necessarily always reach their destination. And in this case, there are two reasons. First of all, the taksiv is given in spiritual terms. It's initially given as a certain degree of vitality, which is designated for this particular individual. That vitality can take on various forms. It can be given to him in Ilm Hazeh, or it can remain waiting for him in Ilm Abo, where he will live. He will also get the chayas. That particular vitality that is given doesn't need to be now. It's a taktziv ruchani. It's uncharted. It's undetermined. Even if it succeeds in making its way down through all the various oilomois and heicholois, and in each case there's a dinu mishpat, whether he's roi or he's not roi, and it makes its way into this world, a person has different needs. Bonei, chaye, and mazoine. Generally speaking, gesund, parnosa, nachas. So a person needs good health, life. A person needs a livelihood, mazoinos. A person needs bonim, he needs children. Sometimes a person is given all the taktziv is put into one barrel. So he has lots of ashiras, he's very wealthy, but he lacks in other things. Sometimes it's the other way. So therefore, we want that the taktziv should be transformed into gashmias, and in gashmias kufa, the taktziv should be in the right things, there should be an equilibrium, it's distributed fairly. And for this, there has to be tefillah b'chol yoyim. But as we know, he says that even tefillah b'chol yoyim, there can be menias v'ikuvim. Because when a person davens, there is a dinu mishpat l'mayla, there is a process of judgment, there's a process of adjudication, there's a process of whether to see whether the person is royal or he's not royal. And at each stage of the yiridas hashefa, of the descent of the divine flow, there's a reassessment. It can get blocked. Just like if you imagine it going through a whole ministry, starting from the prime minister downwards, till the clerk who's right at the very end. At every stage, there can be certain menias v'ikuvim. For this, he says, we have Birchas Kohenim. Birchas Kohenim, basically, what it does is, it cuts across the entire system. And it comes all the way to the individual, without any menias v'ikuvim, without any obstacles. So he gets it there and then. He doesn't have to wait till it's stored away from him. He gets it immediately, he gets it in the here and now, and he gets it where and in what he needs it. And that's the idea of Birchas Kohenim. The symbol for Aaron was a shokade. That's why you know, shokade, makal shokade. What's makal shokade in Ovi Yirmiah? He shokade ani al dvore la soiso. The Kohen has the ability to expedite the process. Birchas Kohenim means that nothing is it breaks through all bureaucracy, all heavenly obstacles that might be in the way, and it comes down straight away. And that's why Birchas Kohenim is so important, and that's why Taka is a big pella why we don't do it in Chutz Loretz. But I'll tell you an interesting story with which I'll finish. And after we've seen the importance of Birchas Kohenim, at least when it comes to Pesach, we'll make sure to utilize the opportunity to listen to the Birchas Kohenim kehilchosoi, especially according to the Sefer Charedim, that just like there's a mitzvah on the Kohen to be mevorach, there's a mitzvah al HaYisrael HaYisporich. But the power of Birchas Kohenim, this tremendous koyach, v'yisar nesiyotav alam v'yavorchem, to yimamshich ul hashpoyos l'mato, in such an immediate and in such a down-to-earth manner. That's the koyach of the Kohen. So there was a Maisa that Rabbi Avrom Shapira and the Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu Zichroni Lebracha Zichat Tzadik Livrocha was in America, I think it was in the year 1984, Mem Dalet, and they visited the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rebbe Avrom, the Kohen. So the Rebbe said to him, how do you feel being in Chutz Loretz? You don't have the opportunity to do the mitzvah of Bechas Kohenim every day. Imagine, a Kohen is used to duchening every day his whole life. He comes to America and he doesn't duchen. So he must miss it. So he turns to the Rebbe and he says, and how do you cope? You're living in Chutz Loretz and you don't have Bechas Kohenim also. So the Rebbe said no. Because the Gemara says in Soita Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis that the Beis HaKnesses Shekula Kohenim, everyone goes up to be the Duchen, and only the children say Amen. So the Gemara asks, "Nu Levim Avarchin?" So who are they giving the bracha to? The Gemara says that they're giving a bracha in Yerushalmi. In Bavli it says La'achem Shebesodis, the people who couldn't come to shul because they're working, like Berchskan was done every day. And because they're honest, they can't get there, they're included in the bracha even though they're not there. Because they have to go to work early. In Yerushalmi it says, Lachem Shebet Sofayim, Lachem Shebet Dorim. To the Yisraelim who are in the north or in the south. Whoever can't get to shul and he doesn't deliberately avoid going to shul is included in the bracha. So he said to him, it doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara that there's a geographical obstacle. And therefore, the Birchas Kohenim travels worldwide. And the din is, we see from the sugya that even when there are people in shul, the bracha also extends itself to the Am Shebet Sodus, the Shebet Sof, and Shebet Dorim. So if a Kohen duchens in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, then there's a person living in Brooklyn, he's also included in the bracha. So as far as the misborchim is concerned, we can say, as the Gemara says in Tanis, Tafud Mitamtsis Eretz Yisroel, Shoyses Kol HaRotzes Kulo. But as far as the Mavorich is concerned, you're missing out your mitzvah. So that's why I ask you the question. At any rate, we should be mispalel that Yivarechecho, Rashi says, Yivarechecho, Yoyer, and Yiso. Yivarechecho, Rashi says in Parshas Nosa, is B'momon, Yishmerecho is Min HaMazikin. Because it's not good enough to have a lot of money. You can sometimes spend it in doctor's bills. So you have to say, Zolzayin Yivarechecho B'momon, then Yishmerecho Min HaMazikin, so that your money should be able to be invested in healthy causes, Kein Tiyolonu L'chol Yisroel, Amen. Yeah.